Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour time, and we have come together to explore the Word of God. A time where we came together to see what the Spirit has to say to us on tonight. A time where we have set aside all of our activities to spend with God. And it's always an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God. You see, every opportunity that we have to serve one another is extended to us by God. God has made a way for us to be able to do everything that is needed in the kingdom of God here on earth. And I'm so glad and honored, and I thank God that he can use me. I thank God for each and every one of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule to come and explore the Word with me. Well, tonight our title of the lesson is, In Times Like These, We Need a Savior. I'm sure everyone could attest to that. There's so much going on in this world. Things that we have never seen before. Crime, killing, all forms of evil. It's going on all around us. And it's not just you and where you live. It's all around the country of the United States of America. And not only that, other countries around the world. It's just the times that we live in. And God, Jesus Christ, told us in the Gospels that there will be perilous times. He's saying it'll look like the end is very, very near. But he say it's not. He say that this is the beginning of the growing pain. But we are encouraged to hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand in times like this. Because he is our Savior. We're coming from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 11. And I wanted to take a little time tonight and talk about a Savior. But before I do that, I'm going to play this song. And it's something that you could hold on to in your struggles. The title of the song is A Great Work. God is doing a great work, even though it don't look like it. Or it may not feel like it. But God is right in the middle of everything that's going on. None of this is taken him by surprise. And he wants us to know he got us. So I'm going to play the song and then we're going to go to the throne of grace.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low. And you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord and receive a heart. justice for your sin. In due time, God will blow your mind with what he planted inside of you to bless the world as it flows.
Even has begun
a great work
in you.
He's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered
work,
as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture.
Song is so true. It's so real. When I listen to that, it's really telling us that God hasn't brought us this far to leave us. No, he hasn't. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening in you and around you, just hold on to God's unchanging hand, and he will carry you through. But you got to believe it to be able to achieve it. And at this time, we need to go to God's throne of grace. We need to go to God's throne of grace in prayer. If anyone would like to pray at this time, I'll press the one button and open your line. If anyone would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of all things, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our High Tower, the God that sees all, know all, and does all things for his children. We are the children of God, and we have to know that our Heavenly Father is looking down on us and looking after us and working in and through us and guiding us and protecting us and leading us into righteousness. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for letting me know that I am only a vessel. It is you that work through me. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I pray that whatever God wrote in his word and the intent that it was intended, that we receive it through your illumination and revelation, which is the truth. Let us know what you're telling us, dear God, to strengthen us, to guide us and protect us. Let us be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory, because it's not predicated on us. It never was and it never will be, should any man boast. But Lord, we leaning and depending on your everlasting arms at this hour. And we pray that the word go forth with power and truth. And that you be pleased, dear God. Touch the hearts and the minds of everyone on the line. Let them understand what you're telling us on tonight. Let them get a better understanding of what you want, dear God. Let them realize that all things are by your grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And then we can learn to rest in what you have done for us, what you're doing for us right now, and what you promised to do is all working together for our good because of you. And Lord, I come to you as humble as I know at this time. I come to you not in the name of Diane Adams, not in the name of words of wisdom, but I come to you, dear God, and I come before your throne, dear God, with the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. So I pray, dear God, and I thank you in the mighty, masterful name of Jesus. And amen, and thank God. Well, again, I'm going to tell you, because other people have come on the line, the title of our lesson is, in times like these, we need a savior, y'all. Thank God for saving us. We in the book of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, the 6th through the 11th verse. I'm going to talk a little bit about a savior for the background tonight. But first and foremost, when we look at our title tonight, in times like this, we need a savior. Many things may come to your mind. Some may not even have a good grasp of a savior. But before I can expound on the title, we must get an understanding who can be classified as a savior so that you can understand your need for a savior. Many times we say Jesus our savior, but do you truly understand your need for a savior? Because if you don't really grasp your need for a savior, you may not give Jesus Christ all that's due him and what it took for him and the price he paid to become the savior of the world. You see, the word of God lets us know that Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. He alone, don't ever add nothing to him. Don't ever take anything from him. He alone became our savior. You say, how? He became our savior by his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, the world was on its way to hell. After sin entered the world, death was attached. And that was a sentence placed on us that we would live eternally in the pits of hell with no way out. Nothing was in place at that time that could change the verdict of damnation. Hallelujah. But God, that was not the way that God planned it. You see, when God created man, it was his will, his way, and desire to be able to love the ones that he created and that they would love him back. So God had to remove sin and its penalties by any means necessary. You see, God in his ultimate wisdom and the love for the people he created decided to make a way for us to remove the penalty of sin. You see, if we go to John 3:16, it tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I come to tell you tonight, his name is Jesus. You see, that's how Jesus became the Savior of the world, by the grace and the will of God. See, Jesus is God's grace. And when we look at grace, grace is a gift. And grace is unmerited. You know, it's a gift extended to us by God. So we can see here that it's all by God's grace. All things was accomplished by God through grace, which is a gift, in the form of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus became our Savior, all of those weapons that had formed against us, brought on us by sin of one man in Jesus Christ, was able to make it null and void. When Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed, the blood canceled the contract. It made a verdict of not guilty. And that's why we need a Savior. And you see, Jesus became the Savior of the world who could take away the sin, but man had to accept him for him to become their Savior. You see, everybody haven't accepted Jesus Christ. So he's not their Savior, plain cut. Because there are people who don't believe that people are going to die and go to hell, because God is too gracious for that. But let's just look at it very plain and simple. God allowed his son to die to become our Savior that we may live. Now, everyone who understand they need a Savior and call on the name of Jesus, if they believe, confess, and accept Jesus as their Savior, they receive all of the benefits. But if someone have not accepted Christ as their Savior, then none of the benefits afforded belong to them. So when you say, how could somebody who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior enter eternal life with Jesus and God? Jesus is not their Savior, so the benefits that Jesus afford to the world do not belong to them. So if you don't choose Jesus as your Savior, and I'm sure many people have chosen all kind of things to be their Savior, I believe that's how they could get saved by. But I come to tell you tonight, the devil is a liar. I come to tell you tonight that Jesus alone is the Savior of the world. I come to tell you tonight that he is yours for the asking. You see, a Savior is a person who saves someone or something from danger. So even though we always talk about Jesus and salvation and Savior in a realm of the hereafter, but I come to tell you tonight that Jesus is saving you from danger seen and unseen. Salvation means to be saved. Jesus is saving us every day of our lives here on earth. Yes, we're going to have eternal salvation and we're going to be saved eternally when Jesus comes to get us. But until then, I want you to know that salvation is working in and through your lives every day. You're being saved and set aside. You're being protected. You're being loved. You're being cared for. That's the duties that a Savior does. You see, we all can say we live in a dangerous world where everyone is doing what's seeming right in his own eyes and leaning to their own understanding. We see that. This world is controlled by the prince of the air, which is Satan, with his limited power that God is allowing him to exhibit. He can't do nothing without God allowing him. Because this is why we need a Savior who is a rescuer, a liberator, a deliverer, emancipator. He's the champion. He's really our knight in shining armor. He's a friend indeed. And he's our friend whenever we are in need. Yes, he's a good Samaritan. Yes, he's the giver of salvation. He's our redeemer. He's our Messiah. Hallelujah, y'all. Yes, he's our Messiah. And he's so much more. So when we look at Jesus Christ, we have to give Jesus Christ the glory and the honor for everything that he has done and promised to do in our lives. And he's also Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, because Jesus is fully man and fully God. That was just the way God planned it. So if we look at the scriptures tonight, and we only have a few, I'm going to read verse 6 and 7 in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, humble yourselves before, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Even in this world, y'all, with all of this going on, God is still exalting his people. But he have his time and his season, his purpose, and for his reason, not ours. But any kind of way that God do you, you all right. He said, casting all your cares upon him, verse 7, for he cared for you. You see, we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, when we understand the hand of God is God doing his will and his way, let God have his way. That's how you humble yourself under the hand of God. And if you do that, the scripture says he will exalt you in due time. So you say, what do that mean? And you're going to look back over your life when I say this, and you're going to really realize how true it is. You see, when you understand the hand of God and understand that he's having his way, and his way is perfect, he's going to exalt you in due time. I mean, God will lift the suffering. Y'all know when you suffered, how it don't seem the same today. He take away all the hurt and pain. He settles your letdowns and your setbacks. Come on, y'all. God is always working in and through us. But the scripture let us know that it's all God's timing, not ours, so we must humble ourselves, be patient, and wait. You see, one of the evidence of lack of submission and humility towards God is our impatience with God and his work. You know, he's not moving fast enough. He's not doing it the exact way we want it. He's not. But that's not the truth. Because God's way is not your way. God's will is not your way. God's timing is not your timing. But God got this if you trust him fully. So if you do trust him, just humble yourself. And he'll exalt you in due time. And verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. You see, they're telling you to be vigilant. You see, when somebody is vigilant, they're strong. And they say, be vigilant. who you're going to be vigilant in God, in your confidence in God. See, you can't be vigilant if you don't know God is going to show up. You can't be vigilant if you don't understand the blessing assurance that God has given us. You cannot be vigilant if you don't know the word of God and you don't go to God in prayer and you don't meditate with God and you don't see the hand of God working in and out of your life because you're doing all of that. But you see, when you're vigilant in God's sovereign powers over the world that care, and you got to care for the things of God. You see, the outside evil forces would come against the Christian, demand that the Christian stay alert. Come on, y'all. Y'all know Satan is on his job. Satan is seeking whoever he may devour. Satan is trying to take you down at every turn. He throw every obstacle in your way. You see, in the scripture describes him as a roaring lion. We're talking about the devil. You see, the devil is always waiting for a time, especially to catch you in your weakness. You see, what he did with Jesus when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he knew Jesus was hungry. He come to make propositions with Jesus about giving him power and giving him domain. First of all, he didn't have it to give. You see, sin always promised more than it could give. Come on, y'all. And Jesus was vigilant. And everything that Satan did, he didn't fuss or rile up at him. He used the word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, Jesus used God. His confidence in God, he used to handle the situation. And that's how we have to begin to do. That's how we have to begin to do. And you see, if we solve our problems with the standards of the world, y'all, they say we are in a battle every day, the spirit against the flesh. The spirit against the flesh. There's a war going on. But they say our warfare is not carnal, but they're mighty from God for the pulling down of strongholds. You see, we should not take drugs or get drunk or go on alcohol. See, God, many people question about drinking alcohol. God never said drinking alcohol was a sin. But he said, soon as you drink enough that makes you drunk, it becomes a sin. You see, and God don't have a problem with alcohol. But God wants to keep his children vigilant at all times. You see, when we do drugs, it takes us off our A game. When we get drunk, you know, we let our guards down. God don't want us walking around under the influence of anything where anybody, and especially the devil, can have his way with us. He's trying to help us and protect us. People who do drugs don't mean they're going to die and go to hell or drink liquor. People sometimes want to make you believe that. But you got to see the hand of God and the intent why God said it. He wants you to always be on your A game. Don't let nothing influence you and take you from your A game. And I said liquor and alcohol, but it could be a person. It could be a particular place or it could be a particular thing. That's what God's saying. Be vigilant. You see, because Satan and his forces are always active looking for opportunities. Opportunities to overwhelm the believers with temptation. Persecution and disencouragement. You ain't good enough. Your mama didn't love you. Nobody gonna want you. And he sows discord all the time. You see, what he do, he even go to God accusing man when he went about Job. He told God, Job only worship you because, you know, you're doing everything for him. He also accused men to God. You know, God didn't show up when my baby died. Why did he let my mama die? And Satan also caused discords and accused men against men. He's always doing anything he can to drag us in out of fellowship with Christ and to keep you from doing your Christian service. Boy, don't take all of that. Oh, that's not necessary. God created us as his workmanship. What he did, he created us as his workmanship for service. You became his masterpiece. And the only service he gave you, what he already know he put in you. So there's no way humanly possible that any one of us have or be able to have any excuse. See, when we deal with God and God saved us and Jesus Christ became in our life and the Holy Ghost is living inside of us, we now have no excuse that of staying up before God or staying up before mankind, because that's just the way God planned it. Each one of us was created as his workmanship, that scripture, for service. God, the Jesus, the Satan, no, the adversary don't want you to do nothing. And he don't have a hard time convincing some people that they are right by not doing anything. They know their salvation, if they truly accepted Christ as their Savior, is locked up and guaranteed. But the scripture also have things in place. If y'all read this whole chapter, it was talking about preachers and elders and priests and people like that who go before the people of God. It talked about them having a crown waiting for them. And there's several crowns. Because God want to honor those that honored him, that went an extra mile maybe, that took more time out of their schedule. And I'm not saying doing that is going to save you, because you were saved when you began to do it. So you had got your salvation already while you were yet in your sin. You see, doing good work and service for God don't precede salvation. It follows. And I'm going to leave it at that. But God wants us to be vigilant. Are you going to be caught unprepared and Satan is so horrible that he try to imitate everything with God? He's called a roaring lion. He's not a lion, he's a snake. But you see, Jesus is going to come from the line of Judah, from the line of Judah. And Judah is representation of a lion. You see, everything that God has and has put in place, Satan could only try to imitate it. You see, God sent his son. His name is Jesus. The Satan has gotten him a son, and he's called the Antichrist. You see, God has a son. The devil wants a son. He's imitator. He could never be God, even though he tried. But he's imitating, y'all, perpetrating and imitating, and yet he gets a hold on many of us that we can't let go. Verse 9, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that's in the world. What he's saying, stay steadfast. When we see steadfast in this verse above, it means to be rock-like. Be firm in your belief. Stand tall in what you believe about. Don't be tossed and driven up today and down tomorrow. Take God and put him on a shelf. Take God and only let him in when it fits your agenda. No, but be firm. Because that's the only way we're going to withstand the devil. With the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus. Because you see, the Bible says the name of Jesus is the only name that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. But I want to tell you tonight, that will happen. Because the Bible says it is. But it's so ironic that even though everybody's going to bow and everybody's going to confess that he is Lord, but not everybody's going to accept him as their Savior. You see, the world around us is dwindling around, up and down. But we have to stand firm on the rock. And this rock is Jesus Christ. And if we build all of our faith on the rock will help us have enough faith to stand. The scripture also resists, which means to stand against. You see, the way to resist the devil is not formula. You know, people come out and they say this a lot. It was a popular thing at the time. I rebuke you, Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. That's not a special formula. All words directed at him and his demons that could contain him. But the only thing you could do is remain firm in your Christian faith. This means to continue to love in accordance with the truth of God's word. You got to know sound doctrine and obey God's truth. You see, God has equipped us and given us everything that we need to be able to fight the fiery dart of Satan. You see, if we go to Ephesians 6, it talks about the whole armor of God. This is a metaphor in the Bible that reminds Christians about the reality of the spiritual battle and describes the protection available to them. You see, God has dressed us for battle, armor of God that Christians are called to put on. It comprised with many pieces. You see, they got a belt of truth. And you see, a belt goes around your waist, and a belt is what holds everything together. I'm talking about the truth, Joe. And see, they got a breastplate of righteousness. And you know, a breastplate go over your chest, and it protects your heart and your vital organs. Because if you got on a breastplate and you're not hit on a vital organ or a major vein or anything, you could survive. See, he's protecting our heart. And you see, the gospel of peace. You see, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we hold on to it, we'll have peace. And the shield of faith. You see, the shield is what we put in our hand. And as the dot comes to us, we can move our arm with that shield. And, you know, we can put it up high. We can put it up low. We can turn it around. Because we got a shield of faith. And then we have a helmet of salvation. The helmet is placed on our head. and it guards our mind, because Satan is the only place Satan can get into us is in our mind. And then he gave us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Dress fully, my sisters and brothers. Understand that you have army fatigues, better than army fatigues, because this is a whole armor made out of stronger material that can withstand the wiles of the devil. God has given us this, y'all. And the thing that I'm going to say now, the other part in this verse, he said, whom resist that, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You see what he's talking right here is the whole brotherhood, the entire Christian community, even though we saved, don't mean we're going to not have trials, tribulation, and pain to be able to gain. But if we're going to always go through similar trials throughout, brought on by the roaring lion that never stopped trying to devour everyone in the world, but especially believers. So he's telling you that there's nothing that happened to you that is not happening around you. So you could get away from your pity party and stop saying, why me? You could get away from your pity party and stop saying, oh, Lord, I can't make it. You know, why me? All the time, why is good? I pay my tithes. Why is it me? I go to church on Sunday. Why is it me? I gave a man a glass of water. Oh, but why is it me? But he says it's not personal. He wants us to know that we're not exempt. Because you see, if we go to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, hallelujah, y'all, it says, there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Nothing that can happen to you has not already happened. There's nothing new under the sun. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He's given us that, y'all. So don't feel so bad. It's their turn today, it's yours tomorrow. Because it's just the way it is. We live in an evil world. You see, the world is built on sand. And when the storms come, they fall. But our faith in the power of Jesus will keep us from harm. We already know Jesus, the one that fought the devil with the word of God. I told you about that earlier. We must fight the devil the same way with the word of God. And verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory by Jesus, after that we have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know, it's telling us after we suffer for a little while. And see, God could say that because I don't know if it's a metaphor, if it's real deal. In the book of Peter, they say a day is 1,000 years unto God, and 1,000 years is a day. And if that holds true and it said and mean what it says, Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, so we, in God's eyes, would only be in a second day. So even though it seemed like forever and eternity that you suffer and it's so horrible and the world ain't getting no better, it says you're going to suffer for a little while. See, it says after you suffer a little while, Christian ought to live with the understanding that God's purpose realized in the future requires some pain in the present. Hallelujah. And we always heard, no pain, no gain. While the believer is being personally attacked by the enemy, he's being perfectly perfected by the Lord. You see, God uses our trials and tribulations to mature, to make us strong. You see, because what's happening to some people right now is a little bitty battle by a little bitty devil. But God may know something more mighty is coming your way. So he allows some trials and some tribulations to mature. And sometimes what he allows is only a test, asks Job. But we have to remember through it all, it's by God's grace we are saved. Not nothing you did or nothing you're doing. That's not nothing you did or anything that you're doing. Do not get the big head. God said he never did anything where a man could have the opportunity to hope. He tell us many times in the word of God to don't think more of yourself than you ought to. Stay in your lane. Just rejoice in God and give him the praise, honor, and glory, which is the essence of your existence. And then when you do that, you're letting him know it's not predicated on me, dear God. It's all about you. You see, grace offered to every person by the crucifixion of Jesus on Calvary requires nothing to receive except to believe in Jesus Christ. Plenty of times, trouble comes to make you strong. Trials usually establish our faith. We should grow when we face problems, y'all. Because if you face them and you understand that it's from God, you probably won't have to face the same problem again. The Bible teaches in this verse that we will be perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. That sounds so good to me, y'all. It produced character. And once we understand this and we grasp this and we have this, we understand. We truly, truly understand. And this is what happened in verse 11. To him, when we understand all of this, it's telling us, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's not about us. It's about God and his grace, his Son and his Spirit. Always give God the proper glory and honor that he deserves, which is only our reasonable service. Not us, not nothing we did, not nothing we could do. And just always remember this, if you could have been good enough to save yourself, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, we could have them at this time. Anything you would like to say, add to the lesson, expound on it. Any revelation you receive, anything, you could do so at this time. Well, if no one has anything to say, I pray that the word of God accomplish what God sent it out to accomplish. And I pray that it won't return void. And if it's God's will and your desire, you will meet back on next Wednesday, same time. I thank each and every one of you. And I want you to know that I love you as Christ loved the church. I love you as sisters and brothers in Christ. And I thank you, each and every one of you. I thank God for each and every one of you. I ask God protection upon each and every one of you, your family, your friends, your enemies, even your foes, your city, your community. I thank God for you. I call and I lift you up unto God. And that's it for tonight. time, I'll say good night and see you next week. And everybody, be blessed.